This is the 365 Message Center show on the, what is it, 31st of August in the States, 1st of September here, first day of spring for us. You guys are heading into winter.
Winter's yeah, coming. Okay.
Yeah, I'll roll the intro.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Welcome. Welcome. It seems to be quite a chock-a-block full of messages today.
Chock-a-block? Yes. Okay. Chock-a-block.
Have you not heard that expression before?
I don't think I have.
Yeah, it used to be used to talk about chocolate chip cookies. Chock-a-block full of real chocolate chips.
Okay. Mm. Was that like a brand of cookie that said that, or is it just kind of a broad statement of saying cookie has lots of chocolate?
I think it was just it was a brand thing, but generally it's, yeah. Anyway, I'm not thinking of cookies. I'm not thinking of cookies. We got a great show for you tonight. I mean, today or whenever you're watching this.
Whenever.
Yeah, that's right.
Or listening.
And I'm on leave.
You are on leave.
I'm on leave, but I'm here.
So what are you doing here?
Oh, you know, you've done this before too.
I have not
a difficult thing, you know. Spend a bit of time with an audience.
So, speaking of audience, want to let everyone know we are now. If you go to messagecenter.show, you see a list of all of your options for listening and watching. So there's a link to our YouTube playlist. But we've added a new one over this past week for the audio listeners. You can now listen to us on iHeartRadio. So you can, we've been added, and there's another one that's coming, hopefully, cross our fingers. So go look, and you can, whatever audio podcast method you like to use, we have you covered there.
Nice one. And there are so many. So many. Yeah, it's interesting when you hear like a couple of favorite podcasts I listen to, and they say on Apple iTunes, on iHeartRadio, and wherever you like your favorite podcasts.
All over.
And everything else. Well, let's crack into it. The first message, let's just line this up so that we're... I was a bit worried about sharing this just purely because of the name, but... Yeah, introducing additional message labels in the message center private preview, which usually means, hey, don't show anyone.
But here you are.
But here I am talking about the message center and what could arrive in your message center. So that's an update that MC220873 that you may eventually see, where it's about how you peruse the message center. How you filter content. There's going to be a couple of extra labels added to the filters so that you can zero in on what matters to you and the reason that you're looking at the message center at the time. Your additional labels are going to be new feature update. There is a difference between the two. Think about it. Brand new feature versus something that exists and it's getting an update. Whether there's some user impact or some admin impact. And I wonder if there's going to be, like, if there's an admin impact, there's probably going to be user impact as well, or vice versa. I don't know. We could have a look at this in action. What do you think, Daniel?
Sure.
Because I do have it available.
I mean, if anybody's going to get in trouble, I'm glad it's you.
Thanks. Right. Well, filter. Right. So we're in our modern message filter. I am in dark mode because that's just what I like to do. And how about that? The labels have disappeared. Well, that's interesting. Clear filters. So private, they've decided to withdraw it. it was definitely there yesterday. So you had some labels in about four categories down there that we talked about, and they would filter the message categories so that you could see messages that were available. So that's the show. No, that's all we have for you today.
Not, That's not the show. I don't have them either. So maybe those have been pulled.
Maybe. And that's you know, that's how that's how things work, I guess, when they're in private preview.
That's right.
Maybe they heard me say private preview. Patow, it's gone.
Gone. Those guys are showing stuff. But what is good, and the kind of the takeaway, I think, Daryl, here is just to know that they are working to improve the experience. So it's not just a dump of here's information, helping us really take that information and make it useful for us by, you know, doing categorizing and all that. So having those labels available.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right. And I was going to say on to the next one, but you're just taking a sip of water. So we don't want to do that.
I can talk and drink water too.
Wow, that's quite a skill. This is our headline. But if you were drinking water and talking, do you think you could be transcribed at the same time?
I think it would be an interesting transcription. So this one is introducing live transcription in Microsoft Teams meetings. This is MC220987. So it, just like the title says, this is all about transcribing the voice, the discussions that are happening in your meetings and Teams. So let's just talk about what do you need to do to make it happen. First of all, you have to allow in your Teams policy at cloud recording as well as transcription. So if those are turned on, then this will be available to you. There's some nuance with this. So we have to talk about how do we get it and what happens if you turn it on. So if a user begins a recording of the meeting recording, then it'll also have transcription. So just know that if the policy is enabled and the user records the meeting, then you get transcription with it. If at any time, though, if you're not recording it and a live transcription is turned on for the meeting, so you go in and say live transcription, then the meeting transcription will then be saved with the meeting. After the meeting happens, you'll be able to go in and see that transcription. So just know if you turn it on, then it actually is then saved. So this may come into play with if you're having any kind of retention or something is being discussed that maybe, you know, you don't want the transcription to happen. Well, too bad if you enabled it during the meeting. It will only work for the desktop app at this point. So if you're in the web browser and you want to see the transcription, too bad, you need to open up the desktop app to do that. The rollout is slated to start late September and be completed by early October, which is interesting because I've seen it in my tenants. I've seen it in my demo tenant. I've seen it actually in my work tenant. So I got to go back and check to see if we've turned on at work, if we've turned on targeted tenant or not. But so I've seen it actually in live and working already. So that the message says late September and starting, but maybe that's for production and it's not clarifying what's for targeted because I already have it. I've turned on the new meeting experience and so I'm getting that.
You're getting this screenshot here at the end of a meeting. You can see the recording and the transcript together.
I have not looked. I'll take a look to see if I'm seeing that. The one thing is interesting to note, though, is I've also seen it in Microsoft's tenant, which was interesting. I can't say more than that. But this feature looked maybe a little different than we're seeing here. So, you know, they do dog fooding. So they're very much on the early releases. So it was interesting what I was
It was saying. Entertaining was the word, too, if I remember the event. Yeah.
It was entertaining, but it was definitely, I can't say anymore. So no, it was interesting.
Well, I'll fill that hole there. I think that one of the main benefits of this is that you're going to be able to see it live. And this is different to just closed captions. It is your transcription. and been able to see who said what. So we've been able to see the words at the bottom of a video, but being able to determine who said what is quite a smart feature. And rather than us having to wait for that transcription to occur or to generate after the meeting has finished, that you have it right there and available. Do you think it's going to make it easier for searching through the video again? I think that was one of the other benefits that this transcription thing was supposed to deliver, even in its earlier version. I can search for stuff that people have said during a meeting.
Yeah, I think so. This is going to the discoverability of content.
Yeah.
Because remember, it's saving that transcription. So being able to discover that content afterwards, being able to find what you're looking for. I mean,
you said.
Oh, yes. No. It is. Yeah, exactly. I think this is one of those. I was thinking about it a little bit more over the weekend, and this is actually could be a turning point for meetings, in that when you're in a meeting, sometimes you say things that maybe they're off the cuff, or you don't really necessarily mean exactly. You might say words that, oh, I didn't really mean that, right? Mm. And so I think people are going to have to be a little more cautious when they're speaking in meetings. And remember, this is something where you're not controlling whether the transcription's turned on or not. So if someone turns it on, someone else in your organization turns on this transcription during the meeting, it's going to be transcribed. So, or if it's being recorded, it's automatically transcribed. So you got to make sure that when you say something, that you're going to stick to it, you know, whether it's a promise or whether you're trying to describe something or whatever, there's going to be a written record of you saying that. And if a meeting has been recorded, you know, in the past, yes, you have a record of that, but it's not really been discoverable, right? We haven't had the text to search through.
Yeah.
We have some in stream,
you have to sit through that 45 to an hour meeting to actually find that content.
So I feel, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and we'll see, it's kind of time will tell kind of thing, but I feel like this is one of those points that where people need to realize this may be a turning point a little bit in meetings of, I don't know, just kind of a watch your words kind of thing. Instead of being more relaxed and trying to work through things, you may find that people are not as willing to talk or to speak up.
Something to be mindful of. Yeah, definitely.
I think so. Just to be mindful of it. So So anyway, that's the rollout. I will say that I'm looking forward to this. So late September, rolling out.
Right.
So Daryl,
yes.
Do you use the Office app on your mobile a lot? The one that combines Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Do you use that on mobile a lot?
I wouldn't say a lot. Like it's there if I'm checking a document, if it's attached to something, and I open it up in full. And it has been as equally functional as the separate applications. Just what's nice about it is that you can land on that landing page and you can see the documents that you've recently worked on and across everything. But they're adding another thing to this, another experience. Forms coming to Office Mobile App, MC221015. Microsoft Forms, where you can create a form to get some information, some feedback, measure it, etc. You've been able to access these, but it's been a separate experience in a web browser, and you know you can fill out that form. But the new experience with this is that you'll go to Office Mobile, you can see your recent forms that you've created, you can create new forms. I don't think that people will, well, they're not going to have to go to the Office Mobile app to fill out the form. That will still be a web browser experience because that's simple and easy, not dependent on anyone downloading stuff. But that's going to, come to Apple and to Android, iOS and Android. Android rolling out to insiders in September, expect to see it complete for customers in October, and iOS 1 month after Android. And they'll update that with a bit more details. I think that it's going to be helpful for someone on the move who has been inspired to create a form to get some feedback. They can do that while they're rocking and rolling. Can you see yourself using this feature? Have you created many forms in the past?
I've created a lot of forms, but the being able to do it on the fly is great. And I think we're going to find the capability used more. So in my case, definitely, because it is, and it's the same way the Office mobile apps had transformed that mobile working. I tell the story about how I had to send out a contract, and then when it was signed and sent back to me, I had to sign it and send the final copy. I did that all on my phone in the Office app because I was able to, I didn't, and I was in the airport. I didn't want to pull out my laptop. I was standing in line to board the plane. So I couldn't, you know, pull up my laptop and do all that kind of stuff. I did it on my phone. And the same way, if I'm walking around wherever, you know, whether it's a plant, a manufacturing plant or retail store, whatever, and I'm like, oh, I have an idea for creating a form. I don't have to, I need to go back to my desk to create that form. Now I can create it within my mobile. So I think it's a great idea. I do have, with the transition of the Forms Pro product going to whatever the name, Dynamics 365 customer voice
form.
And I, for those listening to the podcast, I just shrugged like, what in the world? So how is, I'd like to understand, where does Forms live? I don't have the answer to that. Obviously it's been integrated to the Office apps, but then there's this formerly known as Forms Pro.
Oh, that's very smooth.
That is very much so in the Dynamics 365 world, but where does this all fit in? So, but anyway, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that's good. Enjoy, really. One thing I will say as we move on to the next message, though, I do have an iPad, and this app does not play well with an iPad format or size. It's one of those apps where you open it up and it pretends to be an iPad app when it's actually, doesn't size up. So looking forward to that and maybe using Forms on the iPad as well. Well, our next, you're much better at these segues and transitions. But
sometimes it's contrived. You know, these segues between these two messages, it's really, I'm trying really hard to segue between the two.
I'm searching for some improvements on this.
Ah, see, there you go. You did a great job.
That's
this
right.
One's called Search Improvements in OneDrive for Business, MC221108. Now, we've always been able to search, and that's, I guess, why they're calling it Search Improvements. But really, what this is talking about is really narrowing down what we're searching for. If you're like me, you have a lot of content in your OneDrive, as well as SharePoint sites. And so when you go searching for something, in fact, I was just searching for something right before the show started. I'm looking for a recording, a video that I had recorded, and I found it in OneDrive, but it was amongst so many other things. Well, what we're going to be getting is a dropdown in OneDrive, in the search box. We'll be able to choose where you want to search. You can search for your own files as well as shared files across the tenant. And you can search for in the shared libraries area. So if you're in a shared library, you can do this same search. Remember, this is the OneDrive experience for shared libraries. This of course, is using Microsoft Search to do all this. I will say one thing that will, and of course we get the, what do you need to prepare? Just maybe update your documentation, I guess. But for those old hats, well, maybe not old hats, for those that have been using SharePoint for a while, this will be very familiar to you. As soon as I saw this, I went, oh, I've seen this kind of before in old SharePoint, you know, where you could drop down the scope of your search right from that box. Very similar. being able to say, I want to only search for in this current folder or current library, if it's a shared library, the my stuff, all files. So really being able to narrow down, and I'm really like any improvements around search, to be able to find my content and find it quickly, because I was just in it. And we all do this. You know, you put it in there and say, I'll be able to find it later. And then later comes and you forget, where in the world did I put that? So improvement there.
There's something that Jeff Taper had said a few years back, actually. It was the MVP Summit. And don't worry, it's not NDA. I just like the way he expressed this. That OneDrive is meant to be the Windows Explorer or Files Explorer for the cloud. We go to Files Explorer in our desktop folders, documents. We can do stuff with those files. There's still a lot of people that just see OneDrive as a synchronization location, and it's where I sync my files and I can go there and I can access them in the cloud. But it's so much more when you can use it as that central place that connects you to the shared drives or shared locations for all the teams that you belong to, or right. You know, looking at it all together. So this is just another improvement to that experience of your Files Explorer in the cloud.
Yeah, so if you do have any kind of documentation about to help your users around OneDrive, then you might want to update this. So that's kind of the only thing here. It'll be rolling out. The timeline for this rolling out is beginning early September, so pretty much very, very soon, and completed by the end of October. Again, they didn't differentiate between whether this is just going out to everybody or if it's targeted and then standard release, but we're going ahead and assume right now that it's targeted release. We'll start to get it here shortly, and then by the end of October for everyone getting this feature. So, Daryl, speaking of syncing, let's talk about our next topic.
Outlook for Android. Outlook in general, actually. Outlook Mobile, I'm a big fan. But some updates we're going to see more often are coming to Android or iOS first. This one's an Android first one. Two-way calendar sync support. That's MC221075. This is where you can choose to use the calendar that you feel most comfortable with. That's probably how I'd sum it up. If you're not a big fan of the Outlook calendar and you prefer to use the native calendar on your Android phone, whether it be Samsung, the Gmail calendar or whatever, this will provide syncing support so that if you add or change or delete events from the preferred calendar, then it's going to sync across to the Outlook calendar on your phone, and then it'll be all the same wherever you are. Now this is good because it means that you are getting that consistent experience. Here's one of those updates we've got here, Daniel, where we've got the key points nice and tidy there. It's timing and rollout level. It's all those sorts of things. Review and assess in terms of action. but one thing about how this is rolling out, the feature will be rolled out on by default, in the sense that it's available to people, but it is rolled out in the off state. So they've been quite specific in how they talk about how this has been rolled out. Features available, but it's not turned on by default. And I think that's probably the best choice if you want to have that control of which calendar, I guess, you're going to be synchronizing. You're an iPhone user, I am too, so we don't really have much of an Android experience to compare with this. I do have this crusty Galaxy S Edge 7 or whatever it is that's been cracked and dropped. Nice. And I got a hold of that to try out the walkie-talkie feature as well. It's come to Android first too. But let us know what you think in that sense. I think like where if it's allowing you to stick to your own preferences and work from the things that you feel comfortable with, and that's really good.
I would agree with that. I think one of my biggest pain points on mobile, even on iPhone, is just calendar management. and understanding, because making sure that I can see one view of all my calendars. And I think that's really important, because as we talk about this balancing work life and personal life, I don't know if that's even possible. I mean, anyway, I just feel like, you know, you got to know, can you go do something? Can you go pick something up at the store or drop somebody off at a certain time? Well, I need to know both personal and work, how that's working. And so anything that can help with this syncing of calendars and making sure that I'm fully informed. So I like to see this. Yep.
Hey, Stephen Collier in the chat also raises a good point. When it's synchronizing, it is going to an entirely different calendar. So one point to think about there is whatever's attached to that calendar appointment, or even if it's sensitive information, it is going into a calendar that it's not within your control. It's just within your control whether you can allow them to synchronize this or not. So he suggests that large companies would probably turn this off just around because of the information protection side of things. And
maybe,
yeah. There's some ability.
They've given the ability to manage that through Intune. So if you need to manage that, then this is one of those where I think organizations need to pay attention to this and make that decision on how they're going to govern this feature.
Too true. Your next update, so smooth. Mm-hmm. Is actually Microsoft Information Protection related. And I will find it here somewhere. There it is.
It is.
Boom.
So, I mean, this title is kind of like, huh? What? Especially for those of us that are English speaking or, you know, maybe English first language. But Microsoft Information Protection adding support for double byte, BYTE, character set languages. This is MC220972. So what this is all about is having the ability for MIP, Microsoft Information Protection, being able to detect double byte language characters. And what is that, Daniel? Well, for those that don't know, that's really, we're talking about East Asian languages. So the initial languages supported are Japanese, Chinese, both traditional and simplified, and Korean. Being able to include those language sets in and being able to be detected, I actually think this is really big in that we want these functionalities to work. We want to be able to discover content and detect content no matter what language it is, right? Mm. We don't want anybody to, whether it's nefarious, they want to get around this by using a different language, or if they want to, or if it's just that maybe you have a global, or you have communities that are, you know, are working with a subset of users or an outside party that uses different languages. So I'm really liking this. Rollout will begin in Japan, Korea, China, Hong Kong, Macau, and Taiwan in late August. So it's probably already started, with a worldwide rollout in mid-September. So this will allow those multinational tenants, and we know there's quite a few of those, that process those character sets. So any kind of documents and such with those characters being utilized will be discoverable and being used for the information protection. So hopefully they're looking for a rollout to be completed mid-October of 2020. So you know, this is talking about those custom dictionaries that you're using, sensitivity types, the exact data match, all of those kind of things for information protection. So there's some information about how to how do you manage this. It'll be turned on by default in those regions. So for organizations that have, whether multinational or if they're tenants are in those countries, it'll be turned on by default. So I'm really excited about that.
Yes, I'm still hanging on that name. That's almost like an insider thing, double byte. And it takes me back to those classes we used to learn about, okay, well, here's a bit and here's a byte and here's how to express a letter in the alphabet. And that it takes clearly two bytes to express some of these larger alphabets.
Yeah, it sure does.
This last message sneaked in on the list because it appeared today, and I had to mention it. Had to.
Yeah.
Spotlight an individual video participant for all attendees in a team meeting. Woohoo! Now, this might not seem like a big deal, but for those of us who, I guess, are used to some of the capabilities we had in Skype, here's another thing that lifts teams to parity. But it's as you're presenting, you might want to pin that presenter so that everyone can see that presenter's video. Simple as that, right? This is what that allows us to, I guess, have some form of basic production within a meeting to draw the attention to a person. MC221195. The other thing about this update is it comes in a timely sense that, you know, the US going back to school, it's really useful for pinning the teacher, right? When they are trying to draw the attention to the class rather than, you know, having the floating heads sort of wherever the active speaker is going to be. So I'm looking forward to using this. You'll be able to do this from the meeting video grid. So that's when you've got everyone all showed whatever position they're in. You can right click on someone and choose to make them in spotlight, or you can go to participants pane. You can open up that list of people along the right hand side and choose to add them as spotlight from there. And this is coming, rollout will begin mid-September and will finish end of September. So pretty quickly, but I guess getting that out quickly so that it can be used for the start of the US school year. And
So if, and I saw this, I'm trying to determine, is this different than just pinning one person?
Well, what we can pin right now, but it's mm-hmm. my experience. I can pin and say, I want to see Daniel, right? Gotcha. But as a presenter, I can say, this is the content I want everyone to see.
Everyone will see it. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, it's for everybody. So basically pinning, but pinning one person for everybody. So calling it spotlight. Gotcha.
Yeah, think of it like the shared desktop, but it's the shared mm-hmm. video.
So I wanted to, last thing, I want to make sure that everyone knows, we remind them, starting tomorrow, September 1st, here in the States, although Daryl is already experiencing this date, but start September 1st, remember that the auto-forwarding policy will be enforced for tenants who have configured it. So just reminder that Microsoft is, this is that Office 365 ATP external email forwarding controls. We talked about this on the show. Remember, tomorrow starts the date. So if you have any sort of account that's forwarding content outside of your domain, outside of your email tenant, then you will get a separate email from Microsoft in your message center about what you need to do for that. So just wanted to let everybody know.
All right. Yeah, we'll see you again next week. And stay safe out there and all those sorts of things. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.